Annie Dugan has been having a ball, no doubt, educating, learning, sharing, doing the whole online let's find art thing. And of course, in the meantime, entertaining a couple of little boys who will probably only make so much art before they're ready to, I don't know, what, go outside and just break some stuff or what?
Well, there's plenty of breaking going on in addition to art making. But breaking's part of art, right?
It certainly is.
Well,
and there's the old dishes thing, and you do the mosaic thing, which is wonderful.
Yep.
And of course, if a person's gonna, you know, wants to go, especially an old farmstead, you have to be careful because there's rusty stuff and sharp stuff. But there are all kinds of things to make fabulous sculpture out of, I would imagine.
Exactly. Sculpture, stories, there is everything. A lot of the drawings tend towards the representations of tractors and various wheeled objects, but we all go through those phases.
There just is not really enough tractor art. When it comes right down to it, there is just not enough tractor art.
My son is trying to fill that niche. Yes.
Good for him. Good for him. Good for him. Smart marketing. He's parlaying his passion into something that he can share with others. He's already on the path.
On the path to artistry. Yes, indeed. Yep. Well, and he could submit his work because the Duluth Art Institute is having a exhibition called Response, and it is an online exhibition. And they are taking work as it comes. It's going to be all throughout the summer, so it'll be up and viewable through September. And they're looking for works that you might have. They're works from 2020, so they might be works that you have completed or works that are in progress. It's fine to show that works are in progress. So you can show both ones that are finished and done, or ones that you're like, I'm working on this, but I really want people to see it. Which is, I think, I always find it fascinating to see artistic process and works that are not deemed done. And the call is basically your response, how you are responding to the current situation on our globe, on Earth, during a pandemic. They are looking for specifically local work. So folks in our region, you know, have a very specific response to it as compared to others. So it'll be a wonderful way to connect all of us through this online exhibition. And while you're doing it, you can also get your exhibition proposals together if you are a professional artists for 2021 and 2022. Those are due to the Duluth Art Institute by June 3rd. So as you're submitting to the Response exhibition, you can also get your exhibition materials together for that. The Response exhibition can be sounds a little bit more loose as far as there's not an artist statement required. You can have works, like I said, that are in progress or completed. So there's a little bit more flexibility there, given that it is a response to the moment.
In my humble opinion, having had the discussion with you a number of times about artist statements and having so many thoughts about artist statements, artists, I'm sure, have many, many thoughts about artist statements. I would love to see artist statements along with this, but perhaps they are just a list of adjectives. Bored, lonely, frightened, happy, whatever it might be, either a list of adjectives or ate 3 boxes of cookies yesterday or diary entry, something. But I think that in place of the more conventional artist statement, there would be a wonderful opportunity for artists to kind of indicate their state of mind and indicate the emotions or the thoughts that accompanied that are also a part of their response.
Well, we go through so many different things every day and every hour, and it is fascinating to think, you know, what that plays into the specific creation of a piece. Because for a lot of artists, you know, a piece of work, I mean, it's different for each particular work. But if you think of it, you know, for a lot of folks, you know, you might have a work that you come back to every day. Well, you're bringing a different energy and you're bringing a different mood to that piece every day. So how does that, you know, I think we often think of like, and we often think of art as this like, you know, mad genius that you create in this moment and, you know, poof, it is a perfect encapsulation of one mood. And, you know, that might happen for some works. And then for others, you know, and for the majority, these are planned out, you know, thoughtfully created, you know, what do I actually want to communicate and how do I want to communicate that? So it's an interesting thing that, you know, we have this understanding of art being this, you know, momentary encapsulation of a passion, which it can be, but then there's all this like longer thought process. So yeah, I think any kind of creative way of letting you into the artist's mind, either, you know, during that feats of passion or thoughtful processes are fascinating ones. So the other thing I wanted to mention was I've been coming back to, I talked about nature journaling last week and the fact that, you know, it's just a wonderful practice to just, you know, go out and draw a tree, and how that can really slow your mind and let you let a lot of the, you know, just take a deep breath, look and try and observe, because that's at the heart of what art creation is. And I keep thinking and coming back to a project, a social media project that Aaron Garrison Naughton did. This is like 5 years ago. And she, every evening she would, and this isn't particularly new, but she would write what she was thankful for that day. You know, what she's you've heard gratitude journals, right? You know, some people might be rolling their eyes in the car like, oh God, I've heard of gratitude journals. But the reason that they become so popular is that they actually work. And I think especially during this time, it's really important to focus on what you are thankful for. So maybe it is just that you woke up to sun this morning after yesterday's gray. And what Erin did is she, you know, she did the gratitude, but then she also illustrated that. So, you know, how do you picture sun? And she would draw the sun. And I think it's a wonderful way of even slowing you down even more and making you think of that gratitude and really engaging with that in a much deeper way. So if you spend, you know, 20 minutes thinking about the sun that you woke up to, what a wonderful meditation and a way of saying, oh, I had, you know, you increase that momentary feeling and stretch it out to 20 minutes, which is good for your brain and also very good for your heart.
And you can do
as well.
You can do an easy 20 minutes just on flannel sheets.
Oh, and flannel pajamas.
Oh yeah.
Fresh out of the dryer. Oh my goodness, I'm so happy and gratitude.
I know.
Right.
I mean, there have been times where I feel like I have been scraping the bottom of the barrel for things to be grateful for, and we get tunnel vision. I understand that, but I mean, it was things like hot coffee, flannel sheets, dogs, cats, yeah, termites,
and
fill
you
in
can
the blank.
Them again and again, it's fine to say one night, say my dog, and then the next night do a different portrait of your dog, because hey, I am very grateful for my dog and I'm grateful every day. And so, you know, you can go back to that. Well, it is a deep one.
And even if I think what I discovered after, you know, a week's worth of flannel sheets, that what's goofy about it is that if you have this little practice, and it doesn't have to be a big fancy thing, but if you have this little practice, you find yourself throughout the day thinking of something you could add to the journal or add to the list.
Right. It just makes your brain work a little differently, and it focuses your brain on those things that you're thankful for rather than those things that are causing pain and grief and uncertainty, which are certainly abound during these times and quite frankly, anytime. So you can get your brain focused on things that make you happy and fill your heart with gratitude. And drawing is a perfect way of having you focus on those things. So gratitude journals, make them visual.
I'm kind of impressed by that. Annie?
Yep.
I thought we lost you for just a second.
Nope.
You were writing down flannel sheets in your gratitude journal. I know.
I was drawing my beautiful plaid. And you know who would be top of my gratitude journal? The Prove Collective is featuring artists that they have worked with and that should be featured under the hashtag Support Duluth Artists and hashtag Support Duluth Arts. So last week I mentioned the fact that it's important in your social media to make sure that it is balanced with art, and maybe overbalanced with art. Maybe just try as a goal to make your social media just art-based. How wonderful would it be if only the things that you saw on there were arts-related? What a better mood you might be in. So Support Duluth Arts and Support Duluth Artists is a wonderful way of highlighting just the amazing local talent that we have. And I think it's really important to go back to that well of things. And then speaking of social media making you happy, Lisa sent me a wonderful new batch of people impersonating their favorite works of art. People continue to amaze and delight and embody these wonderful creations. Because I think it's an interesting thing, you know, a lot of this crisis is physically related, right? It's about the body. We are very focused on our bodies right now. And so the fact that we are taking these bodies that we have, that we now see as so fragile and so susceptible, we are taking these bodies and putting them into these wonderfully evocative pieces of art that are so moving, and we're taking our body and putting it in a place of power and creativity. And I think that that's why this, you know, it's fascinating sort of what is bubbled up, and it's been, you know, sourdough starter and art recreation, both things that feed the body in different ways. So we created one for our family, but I'm still not done editing it yet. So I don't have a reveal yet, Lisa, but at some point I will. I know.
You know,
I'll give you a tease. We did a performance art piece. And so it is one that to get everybody in the same room, not crying and not
that Janicki. He is so emotional. You know, if he would just, you know, Janicki, I'm sorry, but it's not going to be above 40 this week, and he just breaks down in tears.
Exactly, he is a delicate flower. That is sure.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm pretty. I'm pretty sure. First of all, that I can guess that there's a tractor involved. I could be wrong, but it could be like, you know, where's the hidden tractor in this piece? And people, that could be another way of people looking at it. But what I was amazed with in this latest batch is I was amazed at a person who did, I believe it was a Picasso, I could be wrong, and did illusionist face makeup on herself. And that was astonishing. And you see some incredible talent. You see Whimsy, the people that reenacted the Dolly painting with the snail. That just killed me. That just I just could not get over that. That had me just in stitches. And then the delight. Annie and I were talking before we went on the air about the first photograph in the series where there's a god and an angry and a little child, and it's whatever, and the people recreating it, whether it was a dad and a little kid, they got the whole tenor of the painting wrong, because what was supposed to be an image of terror and horror is this image of just laughter and
pure
fun
delight.
And it just
absolutely
comes right through the picture. And I still can't get over that wonderful picture that Gina Temple Rhodes shared with us of one of the enactments that they had done in their home. And I don't know how they got the lighting so beautiful, but if I were a part of that family, that is a portrait that I would absolutely treasure. So give it a whirl. Maybe that's the project for the kids for a little bit of time when they're driving you nuts. Tell them to go on this website and pull up, you know, MoMA or the Louvre or whatever and say, find a painting that we can do.
Absolutely. Well, and you will go down a rabbit hole if you search on YouTube for art makeup, because the Dolly.
Oh my heavens!
It's amazing. People do. I think that now we realize that makeup is just as a valid art form as others, and you see the kind of artistry that these people have with how they make their faces into these other creations. So,
even
yes,
just
that is another delightful rabbit hole.
Even just regular makeup, they're teaching people the kinds of. My daughter, you know, could basically have been, when she was in high school, could have been teaching the college level stage makeup class that
Absolutely.
I took in terms of contouring and how to bring this out and minimize that and how do colors work. And oh my, it's amazing. The world is an amazing place. And if you are fortunate enough to have access to it, enjoy it and share it. And if you know someone who doesn't have access to it, do a little brainstorming with your family and see if there's a way that you could help them out. Any equipment that you could let them borrow, or how could you help them out so that they can be taking part in this too? And, share the wealth. Hit that share button. You see something that makes your heart happy, hit that share button.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thank you, Annie. Annie Dugan this morning, our host for Where's Art on 103.3 KUMD.